You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Roster gymnastics. That's really kind of where we're at right now, right? Today, yesterday,
the next
roster
Olympic sport.
Gymnastics. What's that?
The next Olympic sport, right? Because
it might be
gymnastics.
I mean, how would that work? You take a bunch of NFL GMs and you kind of have them put together their plan, and then the German judge is like, you know what? I really like that plan. You did a really good job of getting that guy to IR before that guy. I like that a lot.
I mean,
the Italian judge is like, nah, that really doesn't make sense.
They have Excel championships now to see how fast people can work in Microsoft Excel. So I think anything.
That's not true.
I'm dead serious. Yeah.
What do you do in the Excel championship? How does that work?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I just know it's.
Oh,
like,
you know you do. You know this because you've tried out or something. I know.
No, I don't even know how Excel works, and I'm supposed to be part of the generation that knows how to do all that stuff.
Yes, right. Exactly.
No, I have.
It's
something they do every year. They just did it on December 10th of 2023 was the last. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that was the last one, I think. I think they still have to do it this year. Probably in December, they'll do it again. The Microsoft Excel World Championship Finals.
Microsoft is Excel. Are you a Microsoft guy mostly?
I mean, I don't know. I've never really had a preference, I guess, now that I think about it. I've been using Apple products for years now. Oh, yeah,
I've been using Apple products for years now. So
I have an iPhone.
Numbers is like what? But my Excel is numbers.
Oh. I didn't even
spreadsheet?
Because I've never had like a Mac or anything. I've had Windows computers, but I've had iPhones for all my phones.
Okay. Well, see, that's weird to me. Like, I get, like, you need to, they should have the same thing across platforms. It's so much easier. So I use Apple products, and I can share anything from my phone to my computer anytime I want. Like, it's all in a cloud. Now, maybe you could do that at Microsoft, but if you're going from Microsoft to Apple, you can't do that, right?
Right. It's a lot harder to take a Microsoft,
right,
like something from a Microsoft device and put it onto my phone or vice versa. It's kind of tricky. I mean, you can get there. It takes more steps.
So for example, because we're going to weave this back into football, I promise you. I do the Bills spreadsheet, the Bills roster on a spreadsheet. The spreadsheet I use is called Numbers. That's the program. That's the app for Apple. So I go on and I tweet out the Bills roster all the time. And especially nowadays, it'll happen again today after they start doing practice squad and things like that. And yesterday I tweeted out the Bills roster and you can see it right there. It's got, you know, it's the 53, which we're going to talk about in a little while. And what happens is I put it on Numbers. That's the spreadsheet I use. Well, on my iPhone, I have an app for Numbers. So literally I could be out anywhere. And if the Bills make a roster move, I just go to the app on my phone, plug in the name, take out another name. Bam, it's right there. Now I can just share it again if I want, because I could do that either way. You know what a new thing I do a lot of now, and maybe I'm late to the party here. I've actually done this for a while, years. I don't think so. I think it's a good tip. I was just telling a couple of people about this weekend down at Coaches versus Cancer, talking about staying on top of things and reporting and writing articles. What I do, I speak articles onto my phone, on my notepad. So because I talk for a living, I get in this business to be a talker, not a writer. But in this day and age, we have to write. Kids, you want to be in the media? Learn to do everything. You got to write. You got to talk. You got to do video. Everything, right? Nowadays, it's a lot easier. You're used to it. I was not. We were not. Even Josh probably wasn't, you know, like that growing up when he wanted to get into the media. And he's younger than me. But so what I do now, Josh, is let's say I'm leaving a Bills game and I have to do arrow up, arrow down. Because I don't necessarily want to stick around for a couple hours and do it in the press box, but I will. It's just depending on what time it is, if it's a night game, traffic, all that kind of stuff. So I'll leave the Bills game. I'll take out my phone in my car. And on my drive home, I'll literally do arrow up, arrow down. And it'll sound something like this. Arrow up, Josh Allen. Allen was terrific on the day. He went 16 for 21 for 289 yards and three touchdowns, adding 45 rushing yards and another TD. And I'll have that. In today's world, our phones recognize our voice and the enunciation, and it's all good. Now, there's going to be a few misspelled words there. Anyway, so I'll do the whole column, close to it. I'll get home, open up my computer, bam, it's right there in my notes because they talk to each other. And then I just transfer it. I just edit it, and I transfer it. Now, sometimes I miss a few words here or there. I get it, like the editing part, right? I'm just trying to look it over and like, oh, crap, missed that. I'll publish it and go, oh, man. But that's how it works. So makes it a lot cooler. Makes it a lot easier, to be quite honest.
I found some info on this e-sport, as they call it.
Okay, go ahead. What do we
got? Basically, it doesn't involve finance at all, which is usually what you use these types of spreadsheets for. What I'm looking at with these screenshots and reading about it, it's a competition where you solve unusual game tasks, and they basically make the spreadsheet into a game map, and people have to figure out how to move around this map or something, and like there's got to be some sort of goal. I haven't figured out the goal yet of the game, but it's like you're solving a puzzle essentially, and it's whoever can do it the fastest and the most technical and all that stuff. I don't know. I knew about it, but I never knew it was like this technical. I thought it was just.
Why don't they just play Sudoku? Let's be honest.
Right, exactly. Or Minesweeper. What happened to that? Let's just go back to the good old days.
It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The other voice you hear is Josh Schmidt producing today. So when you give a call, Josh will take that call and put you on the air. We'll get to your calls here in a little while. 803-0550 is the number. I'm really interested in what everybody thinks about the Bills 53-man roster. I had a projection that I put out there. I didn't actually go and score myself, but pretty good. There were a couple things that I had wrong. There are a couple things that I called that I had right that I thought were going to be close. I did not have Lael Collins making the roster. He did not make the roster. And I had Tylan Grable, and he did. I had Kingsley Jonathan. He did not. I certainly had Daquan Hardy. He did not. I had Tyrell Shavers. He did not. So there were surprises to me. What surprises were for you? What surprised you? And, you know, what do you think about it? Where are you concerned? Where are you confident? Whatever. Just let's talk about the roster. Anything that comes to your mind, we'll take your phone call on that today. Coming up at 10:30, my guy Mike Catalana out in Rochester. By the way, brand new. It was going to be inducted soon into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Mike. He's going to join me, and he's been covering the Bills, obviously, for many years. He'll be out there today. There's going to be practice, or you know, his station will be out there. But Mike's been on top of things at training camp as well. We'll get his thoughts on the roster, the 53-man roster, and how it's shaped. At 11, that's at 10:30. At 11, really excited to talk to Boy Green. Now, you know him as Boy Green. Paul Esden out in Syracuse. He's of the Manchild Show in Syracuse. He also does a daily Jets show. And the reason I reached out to Paul today, he's been on the program before, is the Bills made a trade yesterday. Now, no one saw this coming, right? Brandon Codrington. I put the over-under at trades as at a half, and it went over. I didn't expect more than one, but it was possible. The Bills made a trade. They acquired a player. Now, I think if I told you the Bills were going to make a trade on cutdown day, you might say they're going to trade away a player. Maybe they have a little more depth on the O-line or at edge. They didn't do that. They did trade for a player, Brandon Codrington, of the New York Jets, which is really interesting. He actually has a very kind of similar story to Joe Andreessen, who did make the 53, and of course we'll talk about that. But Brandon Codrington went undrafted, and then he went to a rookie tryout, and then he signed a contract. And it looked like, apparently, like he wasn't going to make the 53 like Joe, because otherwise the Jets wouldn't trade him for a swap of late-round picks. But he showed enough in preseason that A, the Bills liked him, and B, Jets fans, I think a lot of them are like, why did we do that? Yeah, they like Gibson, the return man who beat the Bills on the punt return last year. He's there. They invested some draft picks and some guys who can do it. So, you know, there's some Jets fans going, I don't know. I mean, this is a guy they probably wanted in their practice squad, but hey, they got an asset for him. They moved up around in the draft in 2 years, by the way. That swap of late round picks is 2026, not even 2025. There's a lot of time between now and then. The Bills essentially get Codrington free for a year. And I guess even really kind of free anyway, because it's really a swap of late round picks. So whatever the difference there is. So we'll talk with Paul Esden about Brandon Codrington and The Bills' newest quarterback, Mike White. Mike White, reportedly, not official yet, is going to join the Bills' practice squad. So what does that mean? Okay, so yesterday, Mitch Trubisky made the 53-man roster. Not a surprise, but there was a chance they were going to IR him with designated to return. But they didn't. They put him on the 53. Then it comes a report, not long after that, a few hours, that Mike White is visiting the Bills. Then, bam, Mike White signs with the Bills, or he's going to sign. He can't make it official yet. So I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, okay, what does this mean? My initial thought was, and I tweeted this out yesterday, at Sal Sports, go follow me there, please. I tweeted out yesterday, it makes sense for if Trubisky isn't going to be ready week one. And by the way, that doesn't mean just the game. I mean practice, like next week. He needs to be ready to practice next week by now. If he's not ready to practice by week one to be ready for the game, you're going to have another quarterback ready. So it would make sense that you sign Mike White to the practice squad, and then you just elevate him for week one. And Trubisky is the inactive guy. You could do that. But let's remember, you or even week two, I would say week two. Week two is the Miami Dolphins, 5 days later. Oh, by the way, he just came from the Miami Dolphins. I would think he's a very, very competent scout team quarterback as the Bills prepare on a short week for the Miami Dolphins. That would be a really, that's a bonus. Might even be a reason, right, that you do this. But I think the bigger reason is Trubisky's health. So then you think about, okay, they could do that. But the other option, which makes more sense because you can only elevate guys three times, this is what I'm thinking for Mike White. I think the Bills sign into the practice squad, and then eventually, doesn't even have to be week one because you get three elevations. Eventually, before week one probably, you put Trubisky on injured reserve, you sign Mike White to the actual active roster. Trubisky can still then come back after four games, and depending on how Mike White does, you figure out what you want to do at backup quarterback two and backup quarterback three. And one of them stays as two, one of them maybe gets, if you'd have to waive Trubisky, he'd go to the practice squad, or you'd have to waive White. But either way, you could still have all three in the building. This is not really that hard. We just talked about roster gymnastics. It's not that hard. The money matters a little bit here, right, for the Bills. That's for Brandon Bean to figure out. Not that it's astronomical, but you want to make sure that you're having enough money around to kind of do some different things. So you have to be careful with how you structure it, how you do it. When you bring a guy up, you elevate him, or you bring him to the active roster, and then he's guaranteed a game check, and all that stuff counts against the salary cap. But my thought is now, sign White to the practice squad. Then maybe right before week one, maybe next week, you evaluate Trubisky. If he's not quite ready next week, you sign White to the active roster. Then you put Trubisky in IR for 4 weeks. Or if you think Trubisky's only going to miss 1 or 2 weeks, you just elevate White for a week or two, and he's your scout team quarterback and third team quarterback. It just seemed weird to me that it was immediate, like, bam, Mike White's visiting the Bills. Why would Mike White, to me, make that decision so quickly? Like, A, he might just want to be on the Bills. He's mad at the Jets and Dolphins. They got rid of him, right? But I think it makes more sense that, hey, you call Mike White and go, look, there's a spot for you here. We're going to use you. All right? You're going to play on that. You're going to play like on game day. You're going to be active, at least on game day. And that probably mattered to him to make that decision quicker. And because the Bills probably said to me, the way it would work is, like, we got to move here. We need someone. Are you in or are you out? I'm in. Let's go. Okay. So that's how that would work. All right. That's backup quarterback. What happened with Daquan Hardy here? So yesterday, to a shock to many, including me, Daquan Hardy did not make the team. I thought he, A, was earmarked as the punt returner on this team after what we saw during the preseason training camp, how they handled him. Then, on top of that, they were training him at the boundary, not just at nickel, which is really where his natural position is probably in the NFL because of his size. And I thought he played pretty well on the boundary. Now, I'm not digging into every film at practice, right? But when I'm out there and I'm watching, there's plays he's making. He doesn't seem out of place. Looks good. I'm like, okay, it's a sixth round draft pick, right, that you invested in. Let me get that on Daquan Hardy real quickly here. Look it up, Josh, for me real quick while I do this. Daquan Hardy, sixth or seventh round pick. Because I know Travis Clayton was a seventh round pick. Did they have 2 sevenths last year? Look that up for me and let me know. But anyway, so Daquan Hardy, he looks like he's going to be the punt return man. And I had him on the team, no KJ Hamler, which we knew he wasn't going to make it. We heard that. Andy Isabella, knew he wasn't going to make it.
Sixth round pick, by the way.
Sixth round. Thank you. Yeah, yep. I knew.
Second
sixth
round
pick. I thought they had two sevenths, but he was the second sixth round pick. Is that it?
Yeah, it was Tylan Gramble and Daquan Hardy.
Yeah, you
Gramble,
got it.
Sorry.
You got it. Yep. Okay, thank you. So back to what I was saying. There were rumblings yesterday that Daquan Hardy had an injury of some sort, and maybe that's why they needed to bring someone else in. Okay, he may have been evaluated for an injury, but as many of you know, because I say these things all the time, and when I go through the roster rules, you can't release an injured player. You'd have to put him on IR, then you can eventually give him an injury settlement. You can't release an injured player. So if he was evaluated for an injury, it certainly wasn't significant enough to deem him injured to allow him to be released. And now you could say, well, how injured do you have to be? Well, look, there's agents and grievances and things like that you have to deal with if you're an NFL team, and you're not going to do that. It's the rules. Because of you guy just can't, he needs to get paid. If he's hurt, like you just can't get rid of him. So to me, we'll find out from Brandon Bean today at 2:30. Brandon Bean talks to us at 2:30 today. To me, this is a football decision based on the fact that Hardy did not go on injured reserve and was just outright waived. Why would they do that? I think there's always been concern about him as a rookie in that stadium, catching the punts, making good decisions. Yes, as the preseason went on, he did a better job of that. But how confident are you? And that's probably what it came down to. The bigger thing, too, for me was he also acclimated himself as a corner. Now, was it enough, though, to earn a spot on defense? Apparently not, because you have Russell Douglas, Christian Benford, Kyer Elam, Jamarcus Ingram. And then behind, and that's on the outside, then behind Taron Johnson, you have Cam Lewis as a nickel. So maybe there just wasn't a spot for him on defense. He would have been a nice luxury to have. It really was about the return game. And hey, we really like him. We can develop him. We're just not totally comfortable and confident. Let's go get Brandon Codrington, who I'm sure the Bills had a book of some sort on, coming out of college. And he was with the Jets. And by the way, take him away from their division rival. Okay, we'll get to a lot more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Let's get to Jim in Buffalo, who's first up. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Great show. Just wanted to preface this little statement with I went to Canton, Ohio a couple weeks ago, and I sat and watched the Baltimore Jets Super Bowl in 1968, and I thought to myself, actually, a lot of the game was played, and we televised, and we watched the whole thing, most of it anyways, and I thought to myself, wow, football really hasn't changed in 50 years. I mean, because in that game, the Jets controlled the line of scrimmage, just like McDermott wants this team to do. And they were lucky. The Jets were lucky, but they played a good running game. They had a good defense. And they were lucky in the fact that Earl Morrow didn't see Jimmy Orr in the end zone. And this is before you guys' time, but I remember watching that game. And I just thought the Jets played a great game that day. Good coaching, stopped the run, ran the ball effectively. And it really, that's what I think the Bills' current roster is kind of planned out to do, because you got a big physical receiving core, you've got a solid tight end crew, solid running back. I just think this roster is set up to play ball control football. I really believe that. I just from watching it, it's not going to be the quick strike. Might get some passes down the field, but for the most part, this team's going to run the ball.
Well, I don't know if I agree so much about just running the ball, but I do think it's going to look different, Jim. You bring up a good point about that game. I'm looking at the stats right now of that game. I just went back, and you're right, it was a little before me, but Namath did throw 28 times. Unitas threw 24 times. Earl Morrow came in another 17 times. They threw the ball all over the place in that game. Football, passes, controlling though, the line of scrimmage. Passes. What's that?
There were short passes, though. There weren't. It was like Luke
that's where I think
George Sauer.
That's where I think the Bills will be this year. I don't think it's going to be about ground and pound. I don't think they're going to be controlling the line that way. And when you say control the line of scrimmage, and it was the same back then, I agree. The difference is these days, controlling the line of scrimmage is still about the run, but it's much more about controlling pass rushers. It's about keeping your quarterback clean, allowing for RPOs and different things to happen while you're back there. So I don't think you're wrong that, controlling the line of scrimmage is important. I just think the way that you have to control the line of scrimmage these days is way different. Now, I do not think the Bills are going to become some heavy run team. They're going to run the ball. They did a lot last year under Joe Brady. That was circumstantial as well, weather, things like that. What I do think you're going to see, though, is, Jim, what you're saying that happened in this game, which is a little more short passes, get the ball to your playmakers. You know what teams are doing? You know how the game's changed, Jim? Now you just play two high safeties and don't let anything behind you and over top of you, and that's forcing teams to go underneath and play a lot more dink and dunk.
Yeah, well, if you get a chance, you've probably been there before, but that Canton, Ohio was a great trip. It really was a great trip.
Yeah, I've been there, yeah. It's amazing, actually. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. It's a great Hall of Fame. Went to the Hockey Hall of Fame this past summer, actually a few months ago. Hockey Hall of Fame, to me, is the best Hall of Fame of the sports that I've been to. It is amazing. Incredible. Go to that one. But I've been to Canton as well. Been to Cooperstown. Have not been to basketball in Massachusetts, Springfield. Haven't been there. Thanks for the call, Jim. If you want to talk about the roster, you can give me a call at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So more on the roster. Five receivers. The Bills rostered five receivers last year. They did have six at times. That's when they elevated Andy Isabella. And he didn't really do much. I think he might have had a couple punt returns, but you know, wasn't really involved that much. So five receivers isn't uncommon for this team. I think the question here would have been, what about guys who are possibly injured? Well, look, would it be stunning today if, you know, MVS went on IR? No, I don't think it's going to happen. It wouldn't be stunning. He had the neck injury, and then you sign another receiver. You claim a receiver off waivers, and you do something like that. But I think, for the most part, they have been set with their five. Tyrell Shavers was the surprise. I thought he'd make it. Not that Tyrell Shavers just was this incredible player during camp and during preseason. He wasn't. What he was, though, was on the field a lot, getting reps, getting looks with the ones, and steady and solid. And that tells me, again, I always tell you, it's not my evaluation of the player that matters. I could tell you all you want about who I like or don't like. My job is to tell you what I think the team likes and how I'm watching and I'm observing how players are being handled and things I hear and things I see. And I'm telling you that there was nothing that wavered me, and I would say most of my media colleagues on this, by the way, from moving off Tyrell Shavers on this roster, except numbers. That was it. It was just literally numbers. And what I mean by that is, did we think it was going to be five, or did we think it was going to be six? And I always had six, but they went with five. He's got to be, to me, the sixth guy there. So does he come back on waivers, on practice squad? I don't know. I'll walk through those mechanics in a minute here because I want to get to a couple other guys. Of course, Joe Andreessen. What a great story. Joe Andreessen, Buffalo Joe. Did you catch the video of Lancaster High School, head coach Eric Rupp, talking with his team about and announcing to his team at practice yesterday that Joe made the 53-man roster? It's all the feel goods in the world. You'll love it. Go check it out. I tweeted it yesterday. I said, stay for head coach Eric Rupp announcing to his team that Andreessen made the roster. I'm sorry, come for that. Stay for the Buffalo Joe chant, because as soon as he was done, the whole Lancaster High School team, Buffalo Joe, Buffalo Joe. It was just super cool. What a great story. And I hope, and I think this is the case, I do, for the most part, but there's still some people out there who might not look at it this way, and I'm telling you, you should. I hope, and I really hope, that people understand Joe Andreessen made this team. This is not some, he's a local kid, feel-good story. The Bills aren't doing that. I mean, they're trying to win a Super Bowl. We could talk about transition and, you know, what the roster looks like. They're not just handing out a spot to a local Lancaster high school player. That's not happening. Joe Andreessen was a heck of a college player. Some people thought he'd be drafted. He had a relative athletic score of the 85th best of close to 3,000 linebackers. Why he wasn't drafted? Exposure, pretty much. Questions about the level of competition. Goes to Bryant. Goes to UB for 1 year. Tries out with the Bills. Goes to a tryout. Try out with the Kansas City Chiefs. They do not sign him. Goes to Buffalo, tries out with the Bills. They sign him to the 90, and now he's on the 53. He made it. It's an incredible story. We're going to be watching this. Does it last for how long? Does it last 10 years? I can't tell you. Does it last one day? I can't tell you. Because all it takes is the Bills to feel that there's somebody out there who they like better on the roster, and they could move on from Andreessen. Now, that would be a real deflation of the balloon, right? But they could do that. Also, there's questions about Is Baylen Spector a candidate today to go on IR and return after four games? He's on the roster now. And then Joe kind of moves into more of that backup role at Mike linebacker. You do have Nicholas Morrow still there. He's flexible. You have Eddie Lofosio. He's flexible. You can do different things with these guys. So I love the story. Of course, it's a great story, Joe Andreessen, but let's not confuse it with him or taking away from and not crediting him with doing what was needed to be done to actually make the Buffalo Bills 53-man roster. And if Joe Andreessen becomes a heck of a player in this league, hey, at least you got that over the Kansas City Chiefs for not signing them, right? Zach in West Seneca. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Sal. Just curious your thoughts, sorry about that. I just look at the Bills receiving core, and I just catch myself. Are they trying to be like the early 2010s Patriots where they got a good tight end and some veteran receivers? Like, is this really what they want to be, or was it circumstance that kind of got them to where they are? Because part of me thinks, like, this also reminds me of like the 2015 Panthers, where Newton was MVP, had a bunch of random guys, defense was really good. Like, if I try to envision my way to a Super Bowl, that's the team, and it's not, Sean McDermott and him running the defense aside, like, that's the team I most recently can point to and say, all right, mediocre receivers, good tight end, good running game, which I think they'll have, and I actually think Ray Davis can be more involved than people think. I think he's more of the all-around running back that they want. But I just wonder, like, would they, if they had the salary cap, would they have gotten another guy? Or is this, like, are they happy with how they are, you know?
I think it's, first of all, I want to know, what does the baby think?
She's tired, that's what she thinks.
What's her name?
Chloe.
Chloe. Well, thank you, Chloe, for joining the Extra Point Show today. She's a star. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it, buddy. All right. I'm going to let you go be with Chloe as I answer your question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's circumstantial to a degree of the finances. There's no doubt about that. I've always said, I don't think that Brandon Bean has any interest in playing in the $25 to $30 million wide receiver market. Just not at this time, while he's paying Josh Allen the salary he's paying him and having to take on a lot of dead cap money. So I do think it's circumstantial. However, I think Joe Brady wants to have an offense here where he can really just move guys around, spread the wealth, spread the love. And I've always said this. The Bills want to build an offense where when a defensive coordinator goes into a meeting on Tuesday before a game or Wednesday, they can't say to their defense, this is where they're going to line up. He's got to say, he could be here, he could be there. They could go to this guy, they could go to that guy. So I think they want that. The question is, if they do, and you bring up the right question, Zach, which is, if you had the wherewithal, if you had the money, if you had the salary cap, would you go out and get that guy, though? Would you go out and say, look, it doesn't matter. He's good enough. We're going to pay him. Because I just don't think right now they, A, really want to do that after the way it went with Stephon Diggs and, maybe the feeling, the aura around him, the pressure maybe to have that number one guy you got to feed. Not that Stephon was asking for it or being mad about it or anything that we knew. But I think there's a lot of that goes on with just having a guy like that on the roster. And then he's 30 years old. You move on. And they've elected to go here. So it's a long way of saying, I guess, I think it is a little bit of both. I think it's a good question. We'll take a timeout. Mike Catalana from Rochester joining me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, I mean, the last week's been a little crazy. Had a lot more on my plate this week, I would say, in terms of just responsibility, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm here to try and continue my career, try and be the best I can for this organization, no doubt.
That's Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. We can officially call him that. I mean, he could before, too, but he's on the team now. He's on the roster, the active roster, the 53. Joe Andreessen makes the club. We are reacting to the 53-man, initial 53-man roster. In an hour and a half from now, all waiver claims have to be in. That's the deadline, noon today. At that time, we will find out if the Bills claimed anybody who was released yesterday. Any players released yesterday who do not have 4 years' experience yet in the league, they are subject to waivers, so any team can claim them. Now, the Bills have the 28th pick in the waiver order. It goes by this year's draft. The Carolina Panthers, because they would have the original first pick in the draft, not the Bears that was traded, the Panthers have the number one pick. If the Panthers want like five guys, they get all five. It doesn't reset. So there's minimal chance the Bills get guys unless they really want them and other, 27 teams above them just don't want the guy. And that can happen. It's happened many times before. But we'll see, because if that happens, then the Bills have to make some roster moves. Joining me on the West Hur Hotline right now is Mike Catalana. And, of course, you can find Mike out in Rochester. He is at 13 Wham, also the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel with Dan Fates and Jenna Cottrell. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining me today.
Sure thing, Sal.
All right, so I just talked about Joe Andreessen.
Yep.
I know you're in Rochester. That's Section 5. But even over there, you know what kind of a story this is. It doesn't matter if you're Section 6, Section 5, Lancaster, Aquinas. How cool is it to see Joe Andreessen in this spot making the 53?
I think it's fantastic. I think he earned it. There's no doubt. Yep. Like, to get noticed, you know, to get noticed from a tryout perspective, even if you're local, that's great. You know, invite him to camp. That's great. You are competing against guys maybe with higher profiles, guys they have more invested in. Because, as you know, you got draft picks, then you have priority undrafted free agents. You got all these guys coming in, and here's Joe walking in with none of that, and he just kept playing the way they needed, learning the defense, showing his instincts, and then performing when he got a chance. So I think it's great. You know, we all talk about the fluidity of the roster, right? So you don't know where it's going, but at the point when they made the first 53, as they call it, the initial 53, he earned it. Let's see where it goes from there.
It's going to be really interesting. And obviously there's a question about Bielan Spector's availability. We'll see today if they make any move there. Right now it doesn't feel like that, but you never know. They could put him on IR. How tentative is that spot, though, for Joe Andreessen? Do you think that, hey, he could be one of the last guys if they really bring someone in? Or do you think they really want to see this through because they like what they've seen and want to develop him?
You know what I find really fascinating, Sal, with the way general managers manipulate the roster and the timing of things. So, Listen, if your plan at some point is that you think Joe Andreessen ends up on your practice squad, is it easier to get him there during the season than it is now when everybody's roster sort of goes wide open, he's exposed to
great
waivers,
point.
And somebody makes that claim? Because everybody's filling up the roster. They already did. They already made tough decisions. Now they're looking at waiver wire. And, you know, they're looking at those vested veterans, too, that are out there, some that may not get signed till week two because it impacts the contract. So I'm not saying that's the plan. I'm saying is it could end up being the plan because of Spector's injury. Maybe it's a few weeks. Maybe he's on the roster all year long. You see how he performs because, you know, he's there and he'll be on teams, it looks like right now, to start the season. Unless they make a change. So the whole idea of the larger rosters and the practice squad, I think, is great for the NFL, but it really takes second-level thinking by a general manager and a staff to really make it work and keep the guys you need to keep and also sometimes pick just the right guy off another team's roster.
Biggest surprise for you from yesterday with the Bills?
Yeah, I got to say it was the Hardy one. And I just thought watching him, hearing Sean, that they, you know, and we heard he was nicked up a little bit. So I thought, well, maybe that plays into it. But then they just outwardly cut him. And maybe they would try to bring him back. But it's a younger, undrafted player with a similar kind of profile that they're picking up. It's a trust thing. Listen, I said this before. Their margin of error this year, based on the change in the roster, I think gets a little tighter. I mean, this is some unproven guys, some younger players. You can't afford to have mistakes back there. I said the same thing about the kicking game, and that's with a veteran guy like Tyler Bass. It's just like, you know, on those edges, those little things that you need to do and not make mistakes. Returning kicks and not making mistakes is big, will be big for this team, especially early in the year as they're getting their footing. It's about trust, but that surprised me because, you know, he flashed a lot. I think he showed an ability to play on the outside, which was pretty good. So let's see where it goes from here, but that did surprise me.
Mike Catalana here on the West Herr Hotline. Around the roster, a couple other interesting decisions. Keeping five wide receivers. Not abnormal. They've done it last year, but I think a lot of us were thinking Tyrell Shavers would be in the mix. I'm guessing he was right below that at six, so they go with five. Your thoughts on the decision to keep five and the five they kept?
Isn't it funny? I looked at those five receivers and I thought, well, that's what you would have said 4 months ago. Like, those guys are on the team. And then we kept thinking, like, is KJ Hamler going to sneak in? Shavers did everything you would have thought you would have wanted to see him do for a guy who was on the practice squad. And listen, there were opportunities this year. you know, maybe through injury and all, a lot of people were thinking about Justin Shorter making that leap, and that didn't happen. He got hurt too, and then he didn't get the reps. But Shavers had shown something, and then we watched him at times, you know, at camp where he'd be getting some reps with the ones and making some plays, and he looked good. And what did Sean say? The picture of consistency out there. Doesn't mean they don't like him, but there is a point where you say, what's the role of that sixth wide receiver right now? And if he comes back on the practice squad, we know there's always the possibility of elevating. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, you could have guys who get cut, go on the practice squad, and play before a guy on the 53-man roster who's just not active on that Sunday. So there is a lot of flexibility with the roster, but it did surprise me that there wasn't a sixth. But I also think, what's the role of the sixth is on teams? Is that taken maybe more by a linebacker or a safety than it is by another wide receiver?
You tweeted yesterday about Mike White after he was released. Yeah. I believe you did. And then the Bills actually wound up signing him. At least it's reported he's going to sign. It's not official yet. I like Mike White as well. I just think from what I've seen of him, I know that the numbers are a little uneven with the interceptions, but I think he's a gamer. What do you like about Mike White or this situation for him coming into Buffalo?
I just feel like he's a guy who makes some plays. And I know there's a volatility to his game. You know, he's with the Jets. Like, you remember, he was like the hero in New York for a short period of time. I think he got a player of the week right before he played the Bills. And then it went south for him, and they bailed on him kind of quickly in that way. I think I just like what I have seen about the way that he plays. I think you get something out of him. And it's funny, I tweeted that I would like that. And then it was about maybe a half an hour later that the story came out that he had signed with the Bills. We'll wait to get that confirmed. And I'm thinking, Brandon Bean's, you know, listening, and he's paying attention to what I want. But I think he was looking for a quarterback. And then you got to say to yourself, Sal, it's Mike White. Like, I'm not saying he's a priority guy, but is he coming here for 2 weeks? Like, is he coming here for a month? I guess he could be, jumping right on a practice squad. You would think he might have had some opportunities, that there may have been a clearer path to at least being the backup. But we don't know about Mitch. We don't know about the injury. We don't know how long that will last. So let's see. But that's a pretty good third guy to have on your roster, even if he maybe does eventually be a two.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Do you think, are we going to hear in an hour and 20 minutes from now that Frank Gore got claimed by another team?
I'd be surprised. Not that Frank Gore can't play, but the trajectory usually of these kind of players is they get on a practice squad and then earn their way there. But he did, listen, another guy got opportunities and showed it. So somebody might have had their eye on him. He was an undrafted guy, and let's be honest, this was a weak draft in the second part of the draft. I think when you look at the players, you're going to see, when you look around the league, there's more sixth and seventh round picks that are cut. You see less undrafted free agents making rosters. I think around the league, the perception was this was not the strongest draft. Now, that doesn't mean Frank Gore Jr. can't play, but I always think about what team had him on their radar, what team was thinking about drafting him, what team likes his skill set and now is going to say, let's take our chance to put him on there. Maybe they didn't get the young back they needed. Maybe they don't have the depth there. It could happen. I hope for him it does. You heard him the other night. He's like, hey, I want to be here, but I root for them to get their opportunities. A lot of these guys would be great if they were in Buffalo, but they need to be somewhere because, you know, you start with 90, it's 53, and there's a big difference between financially for any guy being on an active roster or being on the practice squad. So I hope for his sake he does, but if not, I hope he's with the Bills practice squad.
Mike Catalana, 13 Wham in Rochester. All right, let's take it in totality, Mike. You look at the 53-man roster. I know it might be massaged a little bit here. I get that. But where's your biggest concern on the Buffalo Bills 53-man roster now that it's all said and done?
I guess I look a little bit at the depth on the offensive line. I like the guys they kept, but I worry about the experience level that's there. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in on the practice squad, at least maybe another, you know, like Collins got let go. Could he come back on the practice squad or does he get an opportunity somewhere? Just thinking of someone who has a little more experience at this level in case it's needed. I think based on the moves that they feel good, appears to be they feel good about Mike Edwards coming back in terms of his safety. I like their secondary a lot, Sal. That's one place I like the starters. I like the backup corners. I think that's a real positive for them. I guess you could always look at depth. You know, they kept Casey Tuhill. You could look at depth in the pass rushers. They kept him, which I think to some people was a surprise because he had been injured too. But you need some depth there. You need guys that can just continue to rush the quarterback. So I like the Mike White move because I was concerned about quarterback in general. But I would say starting with just a little bit of depth on the offensive line because one injury can really set you back a little bit there in terms of who you have to fill in.
By the way, Lee tweets in, and we've had a few people say this. Mike White, I mean, week two, Miami Dolphins, scout team quarterback, knows the playbook. Not a bad pickup there for Brandon Bean, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the priority, but it's not a bad thing to happen,
right.
especially with the short week into game two, because you know that coaches have had to have one eye a little bit on what Miami's doing. The same thing Miami is doing for the Bills as they've been getting ready for the Cardinals. I mean, you've got to focus on that first game, but that second one comes up quick. And let's be honest, it's not. Sometimes we hear this and the guy's a wide receiver, he's a quarterback. And it's the early part of the year when you haven't seen the team play. That is not a bad addition to have, especially the guy doing the scout team, which would likely be the case, I would think, early on. Not bad at all. I think it's a bonus, and he's also a pretty talented guy to have in your room when you need it at quarterback.
Well, Mike, we had our 2 weeks where we drove to you. Now you have the next 5-plus months, hopefully plus, that you have to drive to us for practice.
Yeah.
What's that like for you every day? What do you do? What do you put on? Do you listen to tunes? What's the drive from Rochester to Buffalo or Orchard Park for you like when you do it?
Okay, so I'm going to lie to you and say Jenna just talks and talks and Dan and I listen.
I love it.
Does that sound like that would be the case? No, it's usually,
that'd be okay. She's very smart, so you should listen to Jenna.
Well, we should, but it's probably more Dan and I just talk and talk. Honestly, that's mostly what it is when we're coming up. It's Dan and I coming up today, okay. So it'll be interesting. But with Dan, we may be talking home repairs. We may be talking what's going on with his kids. So those kind of things go on, but it usually takes up the time. We're so used to the throughway, you know, thank God for Easy Pass. You know, we just buzz back and forth and, we love coming to Orchard Park.
You mentioned Jenna and Dan. Tell everybody about the YouTube Plus channel. You guys are doing a great job over there.
Thanks. Buffalo Plus. You just put that in. We've got our daily, basically during the season, we're probably putting up 5-6 different videos a week. You know, we travel to every game. We do our practice reports. We do our podcasts. We do interviews with people at other teams. Like we'll have somebody from the Cardinals come on. So we have a lot of fun with it. It's just Buffalo Plus. Just check it out.
You got it. Buffalo Plus on YouTube. Thanks a lot, Mike. I'll see you later today.
All right, Sal.
All right, you got it. Mike Catalano does a great job. By the way, Mike, I should he's over now, and I forgot to congratulate him on the air. I'm so sorry, Mike. He is getting inducted in the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I did a little video with him on a video podcast I have over at Sal Sports YouTube channel as well during training camp. So you can check that out. We talked about that a lot, and we broke down the Bills during training camp and about his journey and getting to the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So, anyway, I apologize for not saying that on the air while he was here, but we had talked about it earlier, and so everybody knows Mike is getting inducted along with John Murphy. Long time, of course, voice of the Buffalo Bills and legendary broadcaster here in Western New York. So two great additions to the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame, including Mike Catalano right there. We appreciate his time. When we come back, Josh Allen had an interesting tweet in response to something that was put out about him yesterday. I'll tell you what that is next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So Josh Allen was voted, apparently, named, ranked, 103 players surveyed by ESPN, the most overrated quarterback in the league. Number one. Number two, Jalen Hurts. Number three, Tua. Well, tied, actually. Hurts and Tua tied. Number four. By the way, if you're going to do a list, and two people are tied or something's tied, the next one is not the same. So it doesn't go 1, 2, 2, 3. It goes 1, 2, 2, 4. Screwing me up here reading this list. Come on. Let's learn how to do it, people. So Allen was apparently voted by 103 NFL players as the most overrated quarterback in the league. Whoever these players were, I'm not really sure. Probably people who just are very jealous of Josh Allen, to be quite honest with you, for whatever reason. However, how about your Buffalo Bills quarterback leaning into it and responding? Because he was also named the number one trash talker. Okay, there's got to be a correlation there, right? If Josh Allen is always trash talking you and he beats you and he trash talks you, you're going to hate him. Then you're going to say he's overrated. Okay. I mean, the dude's been in the running for the MVP like three times in the last 4 or 5 years. And yeah, he hasn't won one yet, hasn't won a Super Bowl. I get it. Maybe that's it. Haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, what are you going to do if you know you don't have the hardware? I don't know. Whatever reason they have, he was also voted like as number in the top 100. Pretty low, pretty good ranking. So those same players are voting them. So there's a group that thinks that, oh, he's really good. Then he's overrated. Anyway, the point is, so Josh Allen on his official X/Twitter, which is at Josh Allen QB, wrote, so you're telling me I was voted as the number one best trash talker? Let's go. Yes, he's leaning into it. He knows what he's doing there. That's an elite tweet right there. It's an elite response. I love it. Leaning into it. Who cares? He doesn't care. I remember someone sent me this, actually. So thank you for doing that. Someone sent me a picture of when, back in the mid-2000s, some assistant coach called Jerry McNamara overrated, apparently, in the ACC, right? They did go, he's overrated. Big East, even at the time. Whatever it was. And I remember Jim Boeheim laying in, he said, whoever thinks he's overrated isn't going to be an assistant or coach long in this league, right? But anyway, the team came out with shirts very like shortly after that with the words overrated on it with Jerry McNamara. It was great. So maybe that's what will happen. Maybe we'll have shirts made, overrated, to put a chip on his shoulder. I don't think Josh cares that much, to be honest. I'm sure like at some level, everyone cares like what your peers think about you. But I love the fact that he's leaned into it. Check it out. It's at Josh Allen QB on X. So you're telling me I'm the number one? I'm voted number one? Trash talker. Yes. And he is. If you watch the NFL 100, by the way, with Josh and his like spot there where they put him on, you'll see what I mean by like the trash talking. All these guys are like, oh my God, this dude does not stop. Like he's just trash talking you all the time. Whereas like apparently like Burrow is like super polite and nice and Josh Allen's just this big trash talker. By the way, Josh Allen is very polite and nice, but when he's on the field, he likes to get into you a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very competitive. It's a highly competitive game. Bill's 53-man roster is set and we're talking about it. One of the things that they did was make a trade yesterday. Brandon Codrington is the name of the player they got back in a trade with the New York Jets. Codrington is a corner, but he's really here to be a return man. And Boy Green is his name. Paul Esden does a radio show in Syracuse, and he also hosts a daily show called Boy Green Daily. So I reached out to him. He's been on the show many times. Ask him about Brandon Codrington. So we're going to do that next when we come back. Also, Mike White, who spent several years in New York with the Jets before going to the Miami Dolphins. Thanks a lot for coming aboard. 803-0550 at Sal Sports. And when you do all that, it's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And of course, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Esden, Boy Green, up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So the Bills brought in a New York Jet via trade, Brandon Codrington, and they bring in a New York Jet reportedly via a former New York Jet, I should say, and then former Miami Dolphin most recently via practice squad. That is Mike White. And here to talk about both those things and the New York Jets, my guy Boy Green, host of Boy Green Daily, Manchild Show out in Syracuse. We love talking to him. Paul Esden, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Sal, I always love when we get to connect, baby. I wish the Bills and Jets played 17 times a year so we could talk on a week-to-week basis. But I love it, man. Anytime we could chat is great.
Yeah, you're right. The first time they play this year, on Monday night in New York, once again, the way they opened up last year. Hopefully, for both teams' sakes, it turns out differently. And I say that because, obviously, you know, last year, being in that stadium when Aaron Rodgers went down, it was so tough as a football fan, right? I'm on the sidelines covering the Buffalo Bills on the radio network, but, you know, just, what, five, six, seven plays in, you would know better than me.
Four.
There you go. Sorry. He goes down, and it was just such an air out of the balloon of that stadium, obviously. No one really knew what was happening. And then the Bills wind up losing. The Jets beat them in overtime. The season doesn't go the way the Jets want. They don't have, you know, the quarterback in place. So hopefully from both standpoints there, you know, we have a better game that we can kind of judge these teams on.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And I think it's almost like a virtual agreement between every team. Like, hey, no injuries, right? No injuries. Okay, great. Let's line up, lace them up, and let's go. So 100%, that's how I feel. I feel bad for Buffalo since you twisted me about four plays in and make you get that number of Matt Milano, man. That sucks, man.
Yeah.
The league is a better place when Matt Milano's in it. I'm preaching to everybody something everyone already knows, man. One of the best linebackers of football, one of the best players on the Bills. He deserves more love, quite frankly, from the national media. That sucks, man. That's especially after everything he went through last year. It's brutal.
Yeah, for sure. And unfortunately, it is the nature of the business, these injuries. The Bills have one at their quarterback position, Mitch Trubisky. So reportedly, they're going to sign Mike White to the practice squad. And then we'll see. Does he get elevated or does he even take the spot of Trubisky who goes on IR? We'll see how all that plays out. But you're very familiar with Mike White as he spent time, obviously, in New York. We saw him play even over the last couple of years. What can you tell us about his style of play?
He's a big boy, man. He's 6'5". He's got the size you look for. He's a former high school pitcher, threw 90 miles an hour back there in high school. He has a rocket arm. That's one of his calling cards when he came into the draft. He was a fifth-round draft choice a bunch of years ago. He's just a big guy. But when Mike White is operating at full flower, Mike White is running a system. He's running an offense. His first career start with the Jets is when the Jets beat the Cincinnati Bengals 34-31. That was back in 2021. That was the year the Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl, and he set all kinds of records. He was 37 of 45 in that game at 405 passing yards. Like, it was this crazy game, and people go, whoa, he must have been Patrick Mahomes out there. But really, he was just taking what the defense gave him, and that first game was picturesque. That is vintage Mike White when he's rolling and he has things around him. Maybe you could say that about any quarterback when they have things around him that they can do it. But that's where Mike White is absolutely best. So a lot of Jet fans around here, even media a little bit, said, ooh, maybe Mike White practice squad for the Jets because you can never have enough quarterback insurance. But I wouldn't blame Mike White if he had options to go to Buffalo for everything you're saying with the Trubisky thing. I'm sure he sees the path to get back in it. And apparently he's pretty comfortable in the AFC East.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for me, I look at it too. I mean, who better to run the scout team that week two game against Miami? The Bills play the Cardinals September 8th. And then 5 days later, they're in Miami. They're going to have to get up to speed very, very quickly against Miami. And this is a great scenario for a guy that was just with them all of training camp in the offseason.
Brain drain, baby. Some people look at it sideways. I don't. It's part of the game. Bill Belichick did it for 1,000 years. You bring guys in. And I think, to be honest, I think it's more than just a token move here. I think Mike White could legitimately either be QB3 practice squad or path to QB2 for the Buffalo Bills, and you feel great about it. But even to your point, the short weeks, Jets have 3 games in 10 days off the start of the season.
Yeah.
So 100%. When you get these kind of opportunities, you get a guy in Mike White who had been around Mike McDaniel for a year and a half, I think that's invaluable. 100%. It makes a ton of sense for the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a great advantage, I think, heading into that game.
When you look at Mike White's stats, 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, is that because he's a gunslinger? Is he making bad decisions? Why do those numbers pop out?
I think the bad thing about Mike White is it is a little bit when the snowball starts rolling downhill, so to speak, and all of a sudden all hell starts breaking loose. So he could get a little bit in his own head that, you know, I noticed, you know, in my own answer of the Bengals start, you're like, ooh, historic. I cherry picked stats. I didn't mention that he had 2 picks and he nearly had a third in that game. So, you know, he could get a little loose with some of the turnovers. And I think he gets in his own brain. He does not have short-term memory loss. loss. If he makes a mistake, that can often lead to multiple mistakes. So really, again, it's situation. It's the confidence. I think that's a big thing for Mike White. When he's playing well, the confidence is high. When the confidence wanes, something doesn't go his way, that's where things can kind of collapse. And that was, you know, that was evident throughout his Jets tenure. He ended up being there for like 4 years, 2019 through like 2022.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, through that time, no real rushing stats. Obviously, with Josh Allen here in Buffalo, you'd love a carbon copy to not change the offense, but it doesn't look like White ran the ball. What about an athlete, though? Can he move around back there?
Yeah, there is some movement. I would, you know, this is the only time I'm sure I'll ever compare him to Tom Brady, but there's the slight pocket adjustments. Tom Brady was never that. Lamar Jackson, but it's a little,
right?
A little shimmy. It's like one of those dances, you know, you're doing the sauce. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. He could do a little bit of that from a pocket movement standpoint. But again, you're not going to, it's not going to be that Spider-Man meme where Tobey Maguire's like, wait, what is that? And then he rubs his glasses and looks, oh, Josh Allen. That will not be happening with Mike White.
All right. Paul Esden joining me here on the Wester Hotline of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Boy Green Daily is his Jets podcast, and you got an up-close view of Brandon Codrington, the Buffalo Bills' new return man. So the Bills basically move on from Daquan Hardy. They bring in Codrington for a swap of late-round picks in 2026. So basically the Jets said, okay, we'll give them to you. So why would the Jets want to move on, and what kind of player are the Bills getting?
Man, I think some Jets people are kind of not Jets people in the building, but Jets people outside of it, kind of nervous. Like, man, that's kind of, it seems kind of weird to gift wrap this guy. He's a smaller guy. He's only like 5'7", maybe 175 pounds soaking wet. He's a smaller guy, but he's got a great story. He was an undrafted free agent. He tries out in the rookie minicamp in May, makes the team. We're keeping an eye on him. Again, technically speaking, on the depth chart, he was the reserve to Michael Carter II. So he could serve that role behind Taron Johnson a little bit over there in Buffalo as at nickel reserve. But beyond that, I don't know how much from a defensive standpoint he's going to bring to the table. Again, he's incredibly small, and there wasn't a big sample size from the preseason of great play. We're like, oh, okay, there is defense he could bring here. This would be, again, I'm going to compare it to another guy that the only way I'm comparing him is in this light. Devin Hester, he was a receiver on the stat sheet, but he was a return.
Right.
Codrington, you're bringing in as this return specialist. And boy, the juice of the preseason was exciting at a 63-yard kick return against Carolina. And after the game, he was telling a lot of the media, I love the new kickoff rules. He thinks it's – he called it easier. They went, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want to say easier. Let me not make that a headline. He just said, I think it's better, man, because it's a – he basically described it as a long running play. And you could see visions. You could see lanes as things are developing. So, you know, I know a lot of people, it's an interesting issue where people are on both sides of whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Codrington is a major fan. He said it with his words, but also the production, both punt return and kick return. He did a spectacular job. So Codrington, an exciting return, man, a dart throw. Why the Jets gave him away is I think they just didn't want to keep the extra corner. They had a little bit of a surprise with Jerick Bernard-Converse surprising them and making the roster, making them as their sixth corner. I didn't think they wanted to keep a seventh corner. So it was kind of a numbers game. Again, talented return, man, a great dart throw for Buffalo, no question.
All right. So what about in the return game, who do they have? Like, who are they replacing him with? If he was this dynamic return man and we saw what he did, why would the Jets be comfortable there?
So one guy you're intimately familiar with in Buffalo, Xavier Gibson, he's got the lean on one side. And then the Jets invested draft choices this year, and they've almost committed to that. So it's almost like, and Sal, I'm sure you could speak to this as well as I can, that teams have a plan. Okay, we're drafting this. We need this. We're drafting this. This fills this. And then you get surprised. Like Codrington kind of comes out of nowhere like, whoa. All right, we weren't anticipating that. What I mean, Malachi Corley was a third-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. Isaiah Davis, fifth-round draft choice. They've been throwing him back there a little bit. So Codrington had some competition for some of these situations, but the Jets were getting a little cute with how they used their rosters and starters. They sat out a ton of players throughout the entire preseason. So that gave Codrington maybe bonus reps he necessarily wouldn't have gotten if Corley and Davis and all these guys were playing the full amount of reps that they were supposed to play. So that was a pivot in mid-moment from Saleh as he was heading into the preseason. So, again, it's almost like Codrington kind of slipped through the cracks. The Jets committed to the plan of Corley, Isaiah Davis, Xavier Gibson, and a few of those kind of guys. And thus, there was just no path for Codrington. If he couldn't contribute on defense outside of Michael Carter II injury, then the only way it was as a returner, and they liked other returners despite how well he performed in the preseason. The broken tackle rate, like, look at that for people
that
missed it. Yeah, I
saw Ryan Talbot tweeted about that yesterday. You might have the stats too, but I know Ryan Talbot, who covers the Bills here locally, you know, he had like 15 missed tackles or something in the preseason.
Yeah, on 8 returns. Like, good Lord. He's that means he's breaking 2 man's ankles at every return. Pretty good math there. So he's wily. And of course, you have to be when you're 5'7", 170 pounds soaking wet. You have to have a little bit of that wiggle. But he's just got great Ferrari, like 0 to 60, stop, go, see this, bang, bing, boom, bam. And again, when you look at some of the, like, the combine numbers and pro day numbers, he doesn't look exceptionally fast, but he's way faster in-game with the pads on, which everyone prefers anyway, than you are in T-shirt and shorts. So he's just got really intriguing abilities. Squirrely. He's just a little bastard running around out there like Darren Sproulsing it all over the place. So he's an exciting player.
6 returns, 4 fair catches, 13.8 yards. One of the reasons why the Bills made this move is I don't think they were very comfortable with the decision-making of Daquan Hardy, a rookie. They were putting him here. That's tough in this stadium, right? We know that. The wind swirls. You know, it's a tougher deal here, I think, than it is in most places in the NFL. It's very challenging. What about decision-making, just fielding the punt, catching the punt? Any issues there?
0 issues there this offseason. And again, even in moments that, like, for a guy like Brandon Codrington, remember, an undrafted free agent, you get a moment, you're like, we got to go. I don't know how many returns I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And despite that, you know, that thought process, that's me out watching the game. I'm like, boy, I'd be thinking twice and 3 times about that to make sure I get enough opportunity. I got to make a play. But sometimes the better play is not making the play. And he did that on kickoffs where he just called fair catches. He did that on punts where he had no real issues. So no muffing, no fumbling, no second thought. He had a lot of conviction, which I think is obviously what you want in a return man. He has it. He looks at his lane. He's like, okay, I got this. And he goes. So yeah, 0 issues from that department.
Paul, I mean, as best you can, kind of tell us what's happening with Hassan Reddick, how we got to this point, how the Jets got to this point, and where it's going to go.
100%. You know, again, we had a chat a bunch of months ago. I couldn't remember here on the radio. And again, my concern was like, nah, they're going to figure it out. And then like a week goes by, they're going to figure it out, right? And then it just, you know, I'm getting higher register, higher register, higher register. And basically, long story short, it is, this was a word in Jets land last offseason with leverage between the Green Bay Packers and New York Jets. We all knew that Aaron Rodgers was eventually going to end up there, but how are we going to get there on leverage? Leverage returns this offseason with the Jets having his rights. Again, Hassan Reddick is under contract. He is unhappy with making $14.25 million. He would like to double that figure and be in the $28 million range. The Jets are like, well, you're not a free agent, so you don't get to just command any number that you want. So there is an awkward kind of game of chicken here where the Jets hold his rights. He's been fined. We're here, you know, this week. He's just under $5 million in fines now. That is for skipping OTAs, skipping mandatory minicamp, skipping training camp. There was an optional discretionary fine that looks like the Jets exercised, plus obviously every game check of the preseason miss, which is an additional $2.37 million. So he's just under $5 million now, and obviously those numbers are about to get a lot heftier as we get into the regular season. And let's make this clear. If Reddick didn't show up all year and people say, oh, he's going to pull Le'Veon Bell, the Jets would hold his rights in 2025. So again, at some point, Reddick has to show up for a period of time for the season to count. I don't know if he's going to push it that far because right now Hassan Reddick is 29. He turns 30 in a month. Is he going to play 7 games this season, get 5 sacks, and say, aha, I'm 30 turning 31 next year. Pay me, somebody. I don't think anyone's going to pay him the money he's looking for. So I think eventually the Jets win this, quote unquote, and he's going to show up. But I think it creeps into the regular season. It could be as early as skips week 1. We see the Chris Jones last year, Chiefs, Lions, Chiefs lose. And then they're like, oh boy, let's get Chris Jones in here. Let's stop playing around. It could be the same thing. 49ers, right? They have Trent Williams. It could be that same thing. Misses week 1, then goes in. I think what happened to that 49ers game, this seems like crazy ominous to say right from the get-go, but if the Jets are able to create a pass rush without Hassan Reddick week 1 and beat the 49ers, all of a sudden Reddick might come crawling back to one Jets drive. But if it's the other way and there's no pass rush and Brock Purdy's just sitting patting the ball all day, Joe Montana all over the place, oh boy, Reddick's like, yeah, I'm going to turn my phone on from vibrate to sound full on. I'm going to make sure that volume's all the way up. And then maybe the Jets are going to quickly bring him in and counter and give him what he's looking for. But long story short, it's an awkward game of chicken. Neither side thought it was going to get here. And now we're at this uncomfortable position right before the season.
I'm glad you brought up the schedule. That week one game is obviously a really big game. It's West Coast. It's Monday Night Football. After that, you know, Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota, very, very winnable games for the New York Jets. I mean, they should be 4-1 at worst, looking at the schedule. At least you never know. Denver could be better than we think, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have that Buffalo Bills game. They need to get off to a good start. The back end of the schedule gets a little bit tougher, but they have some opportunity here. That said, I think we all recognize it's all about Aaron Rodgers and his health. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he plays the full season, they're going to challenge. They have a great defense and obviously the weapons they have on offense. We know that if that's not the case, but let's just say, you know, otherwise, where else would their concern be? What would hold the Jets back other than Aaron Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, is there another place where Jets fans go, I just don't know if that part of the team is good enough to contend?
Yeah, it would have to be. I don't know if they have those questions right now because, you know, everyone's undefeated. We're all tied for first place in the AFC East. But it's the offensive line, of course, staying healthy in itself and playing up to snuff for that matter. So you have Tyron Smith, 33 years old. Morgan Moses, 33 years old. AVT's coming off a torn Achilles and the year before had a torn tricep. So back-to-back injuries have been thrown in there. Joe Tippmann had the yips. He was throwing snaps at the center position, pegging guys for selling hot dogs at the Jets practices. So, like, he had some yips early in camp. It seems like he's reined that in a little bit. And then the kind of quiet guy no one's been talking about, and that should be good news from an offensive line perspective, is John Simpson. So it is that five. If that five stays together, I think it's got top 10 potential. If it does not, oh boy. Well, we all know what the floor is because the Jets had horrible offensive line play this past season. So really, it's offensive line just being there. They have a couple insurance policies. Obviously, Olu Fashanu was the 11th overall pick. He had a little bit of an injury at the end of camp, but it doesn't look serious. So that's ultimate insurance if Tyron or Morgan were out. So that's one area. And then I would say another one is wide receiver. Garrett Wilson's awesome. He's going to be great. Mm-hmm. But what about everybody else? Mike Williams is coming off a torn ACL. He did return to team drills this week. That's the last step before he's ready for week one. So he's going to have about a week and a half, 2 weeks of team drills before week one. So he'll probably have a package similar to last year when Jets Bills played and Breece Hall was on a bit of a pitch count. I think we're going to have the same thing there with Mike Williams. But put Mike Williams aside, put Garrett Wilson aside, Alan Lazard, Xavier Gibson, Malachi Corley. There's a lot more questions and answers as it pertains to that wide receiver room. So if, God forbid, anything happened to Garrett Wilson, he's Batman in this wide receiver room. But where's Robin? Where's the rest of the A-team, the Avengers, the Justice League? Where is everybody else? Depth, suddenly, if you start to squint at the wide receiver room, it doesn't look as great as it does on the surface.
All right. And finally, as we wrap up here, Paul, and I really appreciate your time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, I think I mentioned to you a while back, the two teams with the longest droughts in sports right now are the New York Jets and the Buffalo Sabres as far as making the playoffs. The other thing they have in common is they've gone through a lot of coaches. So we have a new one here again, a new one, and there's an old one, Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Coaches for the New York Jets. We've seen a lot of them. How early would it have to go bad for a change to be made? Or is it just simply, hey, it's Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, and at the end of the year, it's black and white. They either go to the playoffs and they're fine, or they don't and they're out.
Woody Johnson, in his ownership, 24 years of ownership so far, he has never fired a coach mid-season. So history says that it will not happen. But, man, to try to describe how livid Woody was at the end of last year and embarrassed, again, all the primetime games that the Jets had, and it is what it is, that they were already in outside of future flexing opportunities for what was later in the season. Woody was embarrassed in all those primetime games. He was embarrassed when they go 3-4 games without an offensive touchdown, and the defense is holding, like, for a perfect example, they play the Falcons last year, you lose 13-8, and it's a brutal snail pace game. The Jets Giants one was another one, and Woody's just embarrassed and angrier on a week to week basis. So you can never trifle with a very angry multi-billionaire. Anything can happen, but history says it won't. But boy, it would have to be, I think someone's getting pushed in front of the bus, if I'm going to be honest, before we get to the Saleh. Hey, Sean McDermott, right? Ken Dorsey, You're out of here. All of a sudden, you have a fall guy. We all need a fall guy in life. Fall guy is Nathaniel Hackett, I think. If things are going bad on offense, and they have Aaron Rodgers, they have everybody, I think Sal was pushing Nathaniel Hackett in front of the bus. He's like, oh, well, I guess he's gone. Because he had done that before with some other coaches in the past. If things are going a little awkward and Woody's like, hey, what's going on here with the staff? He has sacrificed people before. So I think Nathaniel Hackett, to be honest, would be the guy, and it'd be somewhere in that first. Again, the Jets buys until week 12, but somewhere in that like first 2 months, if like there is something happening there, or maybe even shorter, maybe a month and a half for 6-7 games of the season, if the offense just isn't operating, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for Woody, and I'm sure he's going to want blood.
You're not a fall guy. You're a riser, pal. I love it. You're rising up.
Let's go, baby.
Love you doing your thing. Love listening to you, Boy Green. You can find him on the Man Child Show in Syracuse. By the way, opener for Syracuse coming up this weekend, right? Fran Brown, I know you're out there. You guys talk about him real quickly on that.
Yeah.
I think I love what he's doing recruiting-wise. We have to find out if he can coach, right? So that's gonna happen, you know, starting this week. I mean, the vibes are great, right? What are the vibes in Central New York from being close to it?
They're crazy, man. Yeah. Again, the recruiting has just been awesome. I can't, man, I have to go back to end of Paul Pasqualoni to get like the last golden era where Syracuse was cranking out crazy talent like the Dwight Freeney's of the world. And think about that. Like, God, Dwight Freeney, he just went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's at least five years after your career. So all of that, he has been born and died. He's come full circle through his football career before Syracuse has been fully back. So the energy is palpable. The fans are really excited. But I think they have the same question you just said, Sal. Can the guy coach? He's never been a head coach before. No. He's been a co-defensive coordinator once. Like, there's a lot of missing there, and they're going to get tested. I mean, week one, Ohio Bobcats 5. There's nothing there. But they played Georgia Tech week 2, who beat Florida State in week 0, a top 10 team in Ireland. So they will have a few tests. The schedule overall is pretty manageable. But, yeah, energy's crazy. I think Syracuse fans are long overdue. They've been waiting. They've been craving a moment like this, and they think they have it this year, especially with Kyle McCord at quarterback.
Great stuff, buddy. If you want to listen out to Syracuse and hear the stuff on the Syracuse football scene, or the Syracuse basketball scene, of course, you're not just covering the New York Jets. I know you love your Jets,
yes,
but you're out there in Syracuse. Tell everybody where they can find the radio show and online stuff for you.
100%. It's the Man Shout Show with Boy Green. That's the Score 1260, the dial locally. You can also find that at the Score 1260 app and the score1260.com. We're live Monday through Friday from 10 to 12. And yeah, you're right. We're talking everything. Jets, Giants, Bills, Syracuse, Yankees, Mets, you know, you're a Yankees guy. All that jazz is happening on the show, and all my Jet stuff. I'm live every day in the morning at 7:30 a.m. and excited. Ian O'Connor, the four-time New York Times bestselling author, will be joining me tomorrow morning to talk about his book, which I'm excited about. So, yeah, man, we're cranking it, baby. Boy Green Daily, wherever you find your podcast.
I love that. Love it for sure. Thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate you. We'll catch up, obviously, soon, I'm sure, before the Bills play the Jets in October at least.
Can't wait. Thanks, brother.
That is Boy Green, of course, covering the Jets. Great stuff. Brandon Codrington, Mike White, what to expect from the Bills for them, coming to the Bills, what he's seen from them with the Jets for Mike White a couple of years ago, last few years, I should say. Brandon Codrington. The Bills have finalized their initial 53-man roster. That could literally change in 36 minutes because waivers... Claims for waivered players released yesterday who are on waivers, have to be in by 12 noon. I said earlier I was going to go through the mechanics. Maybe I didn't explain it, all completely yet, but I'll do it real quickly here, which is anyone who was released yesterday, if they have less than 4 years accrued experience, and by accrued experience, I mean, like, sometimes it depends. You could be in the league 4 years, but you didn't really play enough games, so it doesn't count for you. That could happen. So, practice squad counts, those kinds of things. There's different ways they count, with different ways they don't. Without getting too much into the weeds on that, if you have less than 4 years experience, you can be claimed by any team. You're not a veteran. You're not vested yet. And team says, hey, I like Frank Gore Jr. Bam, he's mine. Then he goes right down to your 53, and then the Bills don't get him back anymore. If you're over 4 years experience, you've already completed those 4 years, you released yesterday, you're a free agent. You can decide where to go. Teams can't claim you. That's up to you. And from what we know, that's Mike White, which is practice squad. Yes, that means you can sign with the team's practice squad. So anybody the Bills released yesterday, they want to get back in their own practice squad. If it's a veteran, they can just sign that person back at some point. If it's a less than 4-year player, They have to wait till noon today to see if they get claimed. Let's quickly go to Clover in Texas before the next timeout. Hi, Clover.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
Oh, man. Great to talk to you. Yeah, appreciate all your tweets and updates. Yesterday I was listening all day. A lot of callers talking about concern. They were concerned about the offense and our personnel. I'm really optimistic about the offense. From what you said in camp, like they're trying to get back to what they do with Cole Beasley, that's like they're tailoring the offense back to Josh. That's what Brian Daboll did. And I don't really think it matters with personnel. Like, I go back to where you talked last year about Ty Johnson when Joe Brady took over and he was on the practice squad. But he was able to do what Joe Brady wanted and connect with Josh. So it was to the point where I'm looking for Ty Johnson on the field. This guy came from the practice squad. He was hurt a couple games. I'm like, when's he coming back? So I think like, it doesn't matter if you're like, you know, Randy Moss or Megatron. People talk about Ayuk. I think all that matters is that if these guys can fit in with Joe Brady's scheme and can connect with Josh the way he likes to play, it's going to be great. And, it, you know, I think the fact that we haven't seen it yet in preseason has a lot of people worried. But I know you've seen it in practice. So I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, I would say this. I think they want to kind of get back to that type of offense where they want to control the middle of the field, Clover. I think that's the way, best way I could describe it. That's Dalton Kincaid, that's Khalil Shakir, that's James Cook out of the backfield. That's even, you know, to a degree, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel lining him up. I think to your point of me saying that Cole Beasley, that's, you know, they don't have a Cole Beasley on this roster. He was amazing at what he did. But Dalton Kincaid is a bigger version of Cole Beasley if you want to kind of look at him like that, where he knows how to get open in the middle of the field. He's good at run after catch, even better than Beasley was. So I think that's what they want to do. Their whole point, I think, is to get back to controlling the middle of the field, which they haven't really been able to do the last few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's the right approach. But, and, you know, like as far as, you know, people missing Gabe Davis and Diggs, you know, they were more like, you know, down the field threat. And, you know, maybe that's just not, you know, where they want to, you know, focus on. So maybe those guys won't be as missed as we think. But
you got it. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for always checking in with us here. And I appreciate you out there in Texas.
Thanks, Al. Have a good one.
All right, you got it. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We are 32 minutes away from waiver claims being over. We'll find out shortly after that if the Bills claimed anyone or if they lost anybody who they released yesterday. And then teams can start formulating their practice squad.
I have them 10-7 and getting to the wild card round. I don't believe, obviously, they'll win the division. I have the Jets for that. But look, if you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I think he's proven to us enough time. For as much criticism as he gets, I think he's unquestionably one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. Trevor, he's had an overall grade above 90 in four straight seasons. The only other quarterback in PFF history to do that is Tom Brady.
Who is that again? Who's talking there, Josh? Dalton Wasserman. Is he PFF? He said PFF at the end, so is he PFF? Okay, there you go. Well, apparently, 103 people who voted on Josh Allen being the most overrated player quarterback, you know, don't agree with that. But I agree with pretty much everything he said, which is, except for one thing, I'll tell you. The Josh Allen, that if the Bills will always have a chance as long as they have Josh Allen, right? I mean, that's what it is. As long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. I always say that. People say, Bill's going to be good this year. Man, a lot of changes. Going to take a step back. I'm like, dude, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And you don't know. It's a war of attrition. We know that. And thankfully and luckily, Josh has, I'm knocking on wood here, Josh has stayed healthy. He has, I think, the longest starting streak of any active NFL quarterback. You know, he's a guy that's available, and he gives you a chance to win every week, and he gives you a chance to win every season. And that's not going to change as long as he's out there. And we see teams every year fluctuate. The best quarterbacks are generally the teams with the best quarterbacks, the teams that are, you know, in the mix at the end. And you might get a couple here or there that are in a different situation. But that's the Bills. And they still have a good roster. Is it as good as it's been? No, I wouldn't sit here and say that. But man, I got people telling me it's a drought era roster. Maybe, I don't know. Is that true? Is it a drought-era roster except for the quarterback? I guess you could probably look at some, you know, spots on the team. That's a good question, actually. I thought about that when someone said it to me the other day. It's a drought-era roster. I'm like, Okay, let's take the best drought-era team. You put Josh Allen on that team. What happens? Because you know what? There were some pretty decent rosters without the quarterback, and then they had some really putrid ones. So I guess it depends on what drought-era team you're thinking of when you say drought-era roster. I mean, they're better than, you know, when they went 0-8 to start the season, the roster, outside of quarterback even, without Josh Allen on it, obviously. They're better than that, but are they as good as what they were maybe in 11 and what they were in, 04 would have been a really good one, right? That's a drought team, 04. That's the first, that's the, you know, Steelers backups coming here and winning the last week of the year to keep you out of the playoffs. That's what that is. So it is interesting how people are looking at the roster, and it could change today. We are 23 minutes away from waivers being, well, the deadline to claim people. Now, listen, it doesn't stop forever. Waivers are done at 12 p.m. for anyone who was released over the last couple of days. Even if you're released on Saturday, I think you have to wait till today to go on waivers. What does happen, though, starting at 4 p.m. today, there's another new wrinkle I need to tell you about. Waivers end at 4 p.m. today. Then you have teams have I think a little bit of a few hour grace period here, because by 4 p.m. today, you can then put players on injured reserve. And if you do that today, as opposed to yesterday, they can come back after 4 weeks. Now, yesterday, you still were able to do that with two players. And the Bills did, with Matt Milano and Darrington Evans. By the way, when they did it with Milano, they didn't initially say designated to return with Milano, but later we learned that that was the case, and I've confirmed it. Yes, he is on designated to return. So is Darrington Evans, which means both players are eligible to come back after 4 games. With Milano, we know it'll be longer than that, but at least there's hope there. There's optimism by giving him that designation. So, at some point. So today, though, if you put a guy in IR today, he's off your 53. So now you have 52. Let's just say, for example, Mitch Trubisky goes on IR today. This is the example I was talking about earlier. If they put Mitch Trubisky on IR today by 4 p.m. and at the end of the day, transactions, now you have 52 guys in your roster. Now you can sign another player to your active roster. That could go for anybody. But then Mitch Trubisky, in this case, could be anybody, would then be eligible to come back after 4 weeks. And you don't have to declare it right away. Not like yesterday. Yesterday, you had to declare two people if you wanted them to get that designation. Today, you don't. For the rest of the season, you don't. You just do it when it's time. So if you put a guy in our IR today, you just wait. And then when he's ready to come back, you could say designated to return. If not, you just don't do that. Doesn't eat up one of those, you know, 8 that you have total. The other part about waivers is, even through the season, as Mike Catalano was talking about earlier with Joe Andreessen, you know, during the season, it might be easier to get a guy onto your practice squad, because what happens is teams start setting their rosters. Then, you know, whether it's tomorrow or a week from now or week 10 or week 16, doesn't matter. If a player is released with less than 4 years experience, he goes on waivers the next day. Bam, anybody can claim him. That's just the season now. That's what happens from here on out. We are in regular season rules. We are in regular season mechanics when it comes to the roster. And we are only, 12 days away from the opener. 11, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's Tuesday. It's Sunday, September 8th. Crazy to think about. So today there's practice. Brandon Bean's going to talk at 2:30, practice at 3. But media today also gets shifted to regular season rules. So that means myself, my media colleagues that you follow and pay attention to that cover the team, we can only watch stretching and then individual position work and then get out of there, because they're working on game plan stuff and they're doing regular season stuff. So that's when that starts today. But then we are able to talk to players, and I'm sure that today one of them will be Joe Andreessen. John in Amherst. What's going on, John? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. What's going on? I was wondering if you could just kind of elaborate a little bit more on the injury players not being able to be cut. I understand that, you know, same thing with me working at work. If I get injured, my company can't just fire me because I'm useless to them at the time. But you've answered this a few days ago and maybe I missed it, but how does that necessarily work out? And do you think that the injury to Evans led to the cutting of Frank Gore Jr.? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, John. Thank you very much. You don't have to hang up. I'll put you on hold if you want to just hang on. But there you go. He hung up. That's okay. I'll try and answer this best I can. I love your example of you saying in your real life workplace, same thing. You get injured at your real life workplace, they can't just fire you because you're useless to them, right? There's got to be some sort of compensation. You have, you know, injury you know, insurance and things like that, whatever. I mean, you got to go through the process of that. Workman's comp, right? So in the NFL, if a player is injured, a team cannot just outright release them. They can't say, sorry, we have no use for you. We don't want you in our training room eating up space. You're gone. You can't do that. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. It protects players who are injured from that happening. So what you have to do is you either have to kind of carry the player on your roster, and then when they're healthy, they can play for you, or you can place them on injured reserve. And according to NFL rules, you place them on injured reserve. Now they can miss four games. After four games, they can come back if they're healthy enough. Now, this is where an injury settlement comes in. So injury settlements work like this. If a guy gets hurt in practice, whatever, he's in a game, and you say, you know what? No, he's gonna miss some time, but we got it. We got to fill the roster spot. We only have 53. I mean, we can't just carry him for the next few weeks and just doing nothing. So you put him on IR first. You put him on IR. You know he's going to miss at least four games. And then the team goes, you know what? We think he's going to miss a couple weeks. And then the agent and the player go, no, he's going to miss 6 weeks. Like, well, we don't see it as a six-week injury. We see it as a two-week injury. Because the team, you know, because the reason is the player wants to get paid for the number of weeks he's hurt. That protects him. Because he can't get released while he's hurt, right? So you have a negotiation. The agent says it's six. Team says it's two. So you settle on four, let's say. Okay, we're going to pay you for 4 weeks. Go on your way. We're going to release you. That's called an injury settlement. He gets paid for 4 weeks of work. At that moment, the player can sign with any other team. He is a free agent. Bam, as soon as it happens. He cannot re-sign with the team that just gave him the settlement because that would be circumventing the injured reserve situation, right? But once he waits the number of weeks of the injury settlement, which in this case would be four, and 3 additional weeks, whatever the injury settlement is, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you have to wait that and 3 weeks. Now he can return back to your team. It happens sometimes. It's not normal. Usually a player goes on his way, signs with another team. Second part of your question. I don't think Darrington Evans had anything to do whatsoever with Frank Gore being released. Frank Gore was released because the Bills have James Cook, they have Ray Davis, and they have Ty Johnson. And as much as you people may say, well, I'd rather have Frank Gore than Ty Johnson. I get it. I get the upside. I get what you saw from him. Ty Johnson's a veteran who understands pass blocking, who can return kicks, who's good out of the backfield. Joe Brady used him a lot. They're just, I'm sure, not comfortable yet with Frank Gore doing all those things yet. So he develops. So you hope you get him back. You put him on the practice squad. And maybe there, maybe, because Darrington Evans is on IR, maybe that's your question, actually, that you called in about. Maybe now, because Darrington Evans is on IR, maybe that's how you get Frank Gore Jr. back to their practice squad and say, hey, dude, you are literally like the only backup on the practice squad. Darrington can't play for 4 weeks. If there's an injury, we can elevate you. And that might be a selling point to Frank Gore Jr. to actually get him back. And thank you, by the way. I didn't even think about that until I just walked through it in my own head. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I hope that answered your question. We'll be back here. We'll wrap things up. We're 15 minutes away from waivers ending on day number one in the NFL transactions. Okay. They sent this thing to me. It says, join WGR Sal Capaccio. Hey, that's me. That's me, Josh. I'm going to be out at Northtown Automotive. Northtown Kia, I should say, for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's this show. It's a week from Thursday. So, opening day, opening night of the NFL season. I'm going to be live at Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. But I'm going to be live 10 to 12 for this show. Not opening night. Don't go there at night looking for me. Go during the day, during this time. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. That is Thursday, September 5th, from 10 to 12. Not only do you get me, but here's a better reason to come by. You get a Paula's Donut while supplies last. You can also get some awesome WGR 550 swag, and you can enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Of course, that's because Northtown Automotive is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. So that will be September 5th, a week from Thursday, at Northtown. I am jacked for week one. Like, I love, like, week one of the NFL season. And even the buildup, not just the day itself. I keep thinking about, like, Sunday, what it's like out there in the field. against the Arizona Cardinals, and I hope, and I'm already looking at weather. By the way, I look today, I'm like, ooh, what's the weather going to be? I know that it's way too far ahead to actually predict. Hammer will tell you that, and he'll come on, you know, on Fridays to tell us the weather. But it looks like it's like 77 and 20% chance rain. I'm like, oh, yeah, which means it probably won't rain. Maybe some sprinkles at some time, whatever. But even if whatever, it's going to usually not be the case. 77, sunny, opening day, Sunday in Orchard Park. Please, I am here for it. I mean, last week, I always think about last year, the year before, a Thursday night game, 2 years ago, a Monday night game last year. Yeah, it's nice on Sunday. I want Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, opening NFL, around the league. Let's go. Let's do this thing. That's what I'm excited for. I'm going to be excited for it again this year as the Bills take on the Arizona Cardinals. So we're going to dig deep into the Cardinals next week. We'll start getting you ready for week number one in the NFL. Some really interesting games in week number one. And of course, that day that I'm at Northtown Automotive or Northtown Kia next Thursday, that night is opening night. That's Ravens at Chiefs. Woo! Good way to start. Who are we rooting for, Bills Mafia? I think you're rooting for the Ravens, right? Give the Chiefs a loss, but does it really matter? I don't know. Chiefs are going to be there in the end. Maybe you want the Ravens to lose. Another team that maybe you just have to kind of think about in the AFC. You'll deal with the Chiefs later. You do play both of them this year. Packers-Eagles the next night. Let's remember that. That's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I always say that wrong. It's not San Paulo. It's Sao Paulo, Brazil, right? Sao Paulo. That's Friday night, September 6th at 8:15 p.m. our time. Packers-Eagles. That's a good one on a Friday night. Remember, that's a Thursday night game, a Friday night game, an international game there. And then we go to Sunday. Steelers at Falcons. Man, the Falcons are looking pretty good what they're doing on defense. Of course, Cardinals at Bills here. Titans at Bears. Sneaky good game. Sneaky good. I think, you know, Titans are starting to get some love. I'm still not jumping on them. I don't think they're going to be very good, but I understand why people do when you look around the roster a little bit and think of some of the things they've done. They're probably about a year away. Let's see what Will Levis does. But how about the Bears, right? Caleb Williams. We saw them here. The Bears went 4-0 in preseason and looked great, but now it's time for the real thing. But they have the Titans. Good chance for them to win that game. Patriots at Bengals. I think that's the largest spread of the weekend. Patriots at Bengals. Texans at Colts. There's always a fun AFC South game opening weekend that goes some way you didn't think it was going to go, right? Jags, Dolphins, two Florida teams getting after it on a Sunday afternoon in Florida. This one's down in South Florida. Miami hosts Jacksonville, and then they host the Bills 5 days later, 5 nights later. Panthers at Saints in the NFC South. Vikings at the Giants. Got to root for the Giants. We should all be anti-Vikings this year, Bills fans, because the Bills have the Vikings second-round pick as part of the Stephon Diggs trade with Houston. Raiders at Chargers. Don't really know what to expect there. I guess Chargers, right? But, I mean, like, Justin Herbert's over that injury, it looks like. The debut of Jim Harbaugh. Raiders, I don't know. Raiders might be one of the worst teams in the league, at least AFC. Broncos at Seahawks. That's a rematch from a few years ago when Russell Wilson was in Denver. He's not anymore, but interesting game. That's a 4:05 game along with Raiders-Chargers. 4:25, Cowboys-Browns. That's Tom Brady's first game on Fox. Commanders at Bucks, and then at night, Rams-Lions and Monday Night Football Jets at 49ers. We'll talk a lot more about that next week. We'll talk a lot more about the Bills today. 2:30 p.m. is when we hear from Brandon Bean. 3 p.m. practice. I'll be joining Shope and the Bulldog later today and, of course, tomorrow morning with Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for hanging with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.